Today's episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There is brought to you by EveryPlate, America's best value meal kit. Stay tuned for a special offer for our backseaters from EveryPlate. Get more bites for your buck at EveryPlate.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Dickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in the southwest corner of our studio slash bedroom is my lovely wife, Melissa Nickerson. Say hello to the people.
Hello.
I can't see. I did the impersonation one time. There it is. The Brando. You don't even remember.
Yeah.
I got to stop doing it. It's terrible. welcome, everybody, to this edition of Mondays with Mel. Thursdays, we catch up with other people and their families. Monday, we let you know what's going on with our family. I feel like I had a little tagline for it, but I don't remember. I like a good tagline. Yeah. Like the Patreon is, you know, give a little more, get a little more. I don't remember, but that's still the heart of it. And guys, I don't know if we are going to make it the full, you know, usually I aim for like 40 to 50 minutes. There's a couple extenuating. Melissa has a hard out at 4. Melissa has a
I asked if it could be 4:15.
Right.
But I also don't know if she's going to reply back.
Right. So
my girls have the phone.
That's a good point. The full context of everything happening right now is we're recording this. Probably, 10 days before you'll hear this episode, because we're about to hit the road. We were not sure if we were going to, we weren't sure how I was going to get to Colorado. We weren't sure the plans all around it, but we made the decision. We're going to do it. We're going to family road trip. We're going to do our best social distancing. We've got homemade Lysol. We've got masks. We've got gloves. We're ready to do this thing and spend a lot of time outdoors. It's going to be a lot of hikes.
Yeah.
And spreading out from people. And we leave tomorrow. And that means today is very stressful. Though I say so far, pretty good. We did a very valuable thing. And then we told the 13-year-old, he's gone for the day.
Yeah.
That's great. And then we offered the middle child money if she would supervise the youngest child.
Yeah, because we had so much to do.
We have so much to do today.
Yeah.
I got a video to write. I got to write, edit,
record.
I got to write, I record, I edit, I create the stills, I upload. It's a whole thing.
To all the platforms.
Yeah, to all the various platforms. It's a big thing. And then, so there's that. And then we're packing. And then we've got like 5 podcasts to get through in that time, because you backseaters are important to us. So we're very, very busy. It's and the big thing, your heart out at 4 is the cat sitters coming over.
Yep.
And you got to give them. Did you write them anything? Melissa is so every babysitter, every cat sitter is handed a manual, not like a one sheet, not like a little. It's a college textbook of that you would look at it and you'd be like, how much did this cost in ink? This cost us $17 to print on a printer that you don't know how to use from our computer. Neither do I. That's a different story. So
let's not go there.
So we've had some cat sitters, various folks in the area, but this is a longer trip. We're on like 12 days.
Yep.
We're stretching it out because what in the world else would we do right now? And so we got a new sitter. Melissa's feeling a little nervous about the new cat sitter.
No.
It's a young teenage girl in the neighborhood.
It's all good.
Yeah.
But
she's got a bit of a reputation.
No.
I don't know anything about her.
We kind of trade with like our closest friend, you know, back and forth, the Johnsons.
Yes.
So there's like no money exchange, right? Yeah. We're just friends.
Johnson's a real name, by the way. That felt like Melissa was protecting them. You know, our friends, the Johnsons.
I don't know. I mean, that is their
and
name.
And the Smiths.
But anyway, I don't know when we should name drop or not. Who cares?
I wouldn't call that a name drop.
But anyway.
All respect to the Johnsons.
Anyway. We just have like an agreement that like we're just gonna help each other out.
The Johnsons.
And
our famous friend the Johnsons. This is NASCAR 7-time champ Jimmy Johnson.
Stop.
Is who Melissa didn't want to name drop, but
and then sometimes we just have like friends that will just you'll be like, hey, can you do like 3 days?
Right.
And then
and we're friends with our back neighbors.
Our back neighbors
who have not been socially distancing. Who might give Fritter COVID.
Leave them
and
alone.
Now we're back at the vet and here we go again.
So now, our neighbors are gonna let him in and out.
Now Fritter's on a little cat ventilator.
All the cat beds are filled. They're making crisis decisions about the cats.
Because they didn't wear their little cat masks. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't wash their paws. They wouldn't. It's a terrible thought, but a cat ventilator is adorable. Just the thought of it is adorable.
They have to like put cats asleep to do any work on them. All right. Stop. <I'm sorry. laughs> So we have like three different parties mm-hmm. that are doing this 12-day cat sitting and house sitting.
Please yeah. elaborate further. Please. You know what? Could you read the manual?
I'll could get you it read?
It reads like stereo instructions. It's just a real, it's a bit of a snooze fest.
Well, we know about your pet sitting,
first
Justin.
First off, you
put it in a cardboard box.
Yeah, that's true.
By the door.
First off, Melissa tells you what
okay.
Preferred blade to cut open the cat food with. She's like,
blade?
Okay, you know, you got to open the cat food. And she's like, okay, please use the third knife from the left. The scissors, we don't prefer the scissors because those scissors, actually, we use those mostly on paper and we try not to cross-contaminate too much. And then you need to pour the food in a swirling method. It's
motion.
It's a swirling counterclockwise. The cats will refuse. They will refuse to eat any dry food that was poured in a non-circular motion clockwise. They're divas. So it's a lot of that kind of stuff. And so you're a little. So we got this hard out because Melissa's got some hands-on training. Of our newest cat supervisor.
Yeah.
She comes over, she'll come over 3 days.
Yeah.
For how long will the times be? 10 minutes each time she comes over?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Melissa will give her 2 hours of training. Between communication and in-person training and the manual she wrote, Melissa's put 3 hours of work into 45 minutes. Of commitment.
Our hose is tricky.
For a total of $22 payment. Our hose. I will say our hose is a little tricky because the location of the spout.
What you don't understand was the teen got hired. She's 14.
Yeah.
And then backup was the 12-year-old. Well, they got it offered to go out of town.
Oh, the
so now we got the 8-year-old with her mom.
Oh, the 8-year-old's coming?
I mean, she wants to make money.
How's the 8-year-old going to get here?
Her mom.
Oh.
You know, she only has 2 kids this week.
She's doing all this work for an adult?
Dustin. Dustin. It's that she's teaching her kid how to have a job.
Sounds like you're teaching her kid how to have a job.
Oh, my gosh. I just have to give them the keys and show them the hose.
I'm so happy that you guys get a stressed out Melissa is always my favorite Melissa. She's very intense. Melissa's a very intense human being. There was that T.D. Jakes video of him on Oprah talking about, what is it, the 10-gallon bucket or whatever. Some people are 10-gallon people.
Yeah.
And I watched that and I showed it to you and you cried. And I was like, you're a 12-gallon. Like, this is a video about 10 gallons and you would find 10-gallon people to be a little on the shallow side.
Yeah.
Melissa's like, hey, here's everything. Oh. If she were a fruit snack, she would be a gusher. She is a lot. And stressed out Melissa is, it's a real treat. And there's just this, sometimes you do like, you get really stressed and you don't actually like know what to do. So you'll just be doing something totally unnecessary.
I pivot and like,
yeah,
never finish a task.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Because I'm like, I need to move the plastic bags to the car.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking for our extra house keys.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you will be in the middle of like packing for a 12-day road trip and you'll be like, oh God, I got to order these hangers. And then you just order some hangers. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
I'm like refilling shampoo bottles.
That's exactly what you're doing.
You don't know how much maintenance our me and my two daughters and our hair care. Yeah. That's like a whole extra suitcase.
Yeah.
You know?
But like, you also won't
12 days.
Just go to CVS and buy like the little travel things. You're like, no, no, no. I'll just fill these into this this reusable shampoo. Oh, you've had this. You've had a body wash, a little small refillable body wash thing that you've had for a decade. I can see it in my mind because it's just handwritten body wash on it with a Sharpie.
The other thing is, I'm out of habit. We haven't traveled this year.
You haven't. No, I haven't.
Our family hasn't.
Yeah, no, you got.
We haven't traveled since Thanksgiving.
You had two family trips canceled or trips of yours canceled. We would have gone to Nashville for the CAA party, for the agency party. Yeah. And then we would have gone to the LA thing in April.
Yep.
So you had two things canceled. Mm-hmm. And Joel had one thing canceled. And I've had my entire career canceled.
Yeah.
Sure. It's just cancel culture.
It's the problem. You know,
it's just cancel culture. It's a big problem, you know? So you feel a little... I told you I did that when I went to Tacoma. I was like, how do I pack? It used to be very easy for me to pack because I didn't unpack.
Kept the bag in the room.
It was a sad day when I took my suitcase, which normally lives in the room, to the shed.
Yeah.
It was like an acknowledgement of defeat. Like, I'm not going anywhere for a while.
That was like when I cleaned out the kids' backpacks.
Yes.
In March.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, well,
yeah,
we don't need these anymore.
And I was like, are we going to get that money on their food card back? Or is that like a rollover system?
It's a rollover.
Okay, so that'll be there for next year?
Yeah. I mean, no, they're not going back, but it's still there.
You guys can see, throughout the episode, I'm just going to try and continue to try and like poke at Melissa on some stressful things and just see if you guys can get a little, she's holding a coaster with great angst in her heart right now. Things were peaceful even a day ago. I will say this, that, for a million reasons, I'm a nightmare to be married to. There are some great things that I bring to the table. Great at playing with the kids. Very funny. I would say that I'm not combative. I'm pretty agreeable. I certainly don't like to fight. There are some nice things. I'm a good time. In general, I'm a good time.
Yeah.
We talked about this last month. Is I downplay things, and you overplay things. And one of the things that I downplay is because it's not me doing the majority pre-trip stuff. I'm just like can you put all the suitcases in the, and I'll load up the van. I do the van load up, which is stressful, but it's nothing like the van pack. But my way of dealing with this is, I mean, sometimes I'll do shows the night before a trip.
We'll pick you up at the airport as we leave.
We've
for
done
the
that
trip.
A couple times, too.
Or we'll meet you at the trip destination.
Or as we did on the way home from California, or from Bay Area last year, you'll drop me at an airport and finish the trip.
Yeah.
But alas, that's the job. But what I was going to say was, one of the ways that I've dealt with that is I've just told you to pack less.
Right.
We don't need the cooler. Losing the cooler is always a big, big time saver.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we first started doing these road trips that were in and around my comedy, it was like, hey, we're going to go be staying at a grimy hotel / casino, most likely.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we have to bring the food that we have. And because the idea of getting like a meal or two out would be like, well, we don't want to go bankrupt again. We already did that when the economy crashed and we bought a home we shouldn't have, but I don't want to go to Baja Fresh twice and have to go back to the courthouse.
Yeah, we used to, we've done, it's been so many years, since Claire's been alive, you know, like basically almost 6.5 years, like where I would just go into a grocery store and grab like five deli kind of things and then like produce, whatever, and we just eat that in the car or at a park. And the kids were little. It's just a lot easier.
Yeah, it's like, how long into a trip do you, okay, so I mean, I haven't looked at the total drive hours, or I don't even know the hours, but I mean, let's say we drive for 50 hours. How long into the first day of the first trip, the first run, the leg of the trip, how long into the drive before the kids ask for something?
Like a minute?
Yeah, if that, right?
Like
before
we get in the car.
Well, because tomorrow we'll go to Starbucks on the way out of town.
Yeah.
And just because it's a drive-thru, it's not our preference, but hey, we'll go to Starbucks and we'll be like...
We don't want any dishes.
Because if you take
all dishes.
Yeah. And Dicker says, we have a hard time getting up. We're not like your family road trip was like, you tell me your parents would turn on the TV at like 4 a.m. or 5 a.m.
Right? It was like 6.
It was like 6.
Yeah, they turn on the news. You're like, no.
And there at times it would be everybody in the hotel, right? So your whole family would stay in hotels together, right? That's so 2 adults, 4 kids.
Yeah.
Who's sleeping where in those scenarios?
Sometimes you get like a portable bed.
Oh yeah, yeah. The roll away.
So my twin sisters usually shared the roll away. And then my brother and I got like the queen.
I've never even asked for the roll away. I've never even thought
I think it's extra.
Sometimes. I think so. I don't know. I've never asked for it.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I've slept on the roll-away.
We have done
before.
We did a triple once.
Yeah.
Like width-wise. Yeah. All the girls. Yeah.
I slept on the roll-away one time when I stayed at a hotel with my sister. I was doing a gig at the, this is the famous story that I exaggerate with Jessica.
Oh, yeah.
My sister and I.
I don't think that was a gig. I think.
No, it was a gig.
Oh, that was
It was at the Mill Casino. Let's not call it a hotel. It had a hotel.
It's a casino.
It's a casino in a tiny little
Southern Oregon
town where most of my family on that side of the family is from. And it was fun because it was like, hey, Dustin's at the Mill. I mean, I'm touring Coos Bay. And
everybody came in.
Yeah. And my sister, Jess, who I love and am close to and I love spending time with, I was like, hey, how about you meet me? I think she met me
in
Seattle or Portland. And then we had to take a smaller flight to
Seattle
to Coos Bay to get into North Bend. And I joke about her drinking. The number has gone up. She had several beers. And the number has gone up of how many beers. Now it's like a folklore story. Like, Jessica drank 22 IPAs. And I don't remember.
On that day.
But we get to the hotel and it was one like queen or king bed. And I'm like, oh no, there's not. I won't share a bed with my sister. But I got the roll away bed and then I slept on the roll away bed. And now there's something, you're the perfect person to talk about this. I did this one time with Zoltan where he was staying at a
we were both in Seattle.
And I was doing this amazing conference where I was staying in this like really nice Marriott in downtown Redmond.
Yeah.
And he was posting about this like terrible Motel 6 he was at the airport.
Oh gosh.
And I texted him and I was like, hey man, I'm in this nice hotel. Come on up.
Yeah.
You know, you can stay here. I can get the rollaway bed or the futon or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my room. Just like the thing with Jessica was my room.
Yeah.
And I took the side bed, the rollaway bed. Now, I think a lot of people would look at that and go, oh, that's Dustin's very kind and very generous. But you don't think that. Like when I do things like that. You are very critical of decisions. Like that.
I guess I feel like you have a ulterior motive to it.
Right. Which I don't. I mean, here's my genuine ulterior motive, as far as I can tell. I want to make them happy. Like it makes me happy to make people happy. I mean, it's literally my job is the happiness.
Yeah.
Kid. Because it's not like I have anything to gain in that scenario. But I, you know what some of it is, though? Like, and maybe this is what you see under it, is it's not, is it that I want people to be happy or is that I hate when people are unhappy?
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of that. Like, if somebody...
Like, you don't want them to complain.
If my sister came in that hotel, I would rather be uncomfortable than her complain. Like, and that's what it... I think that's as much of it right there. Like, I'm doing you a favor. I cannot listen to your complaining. I would rather sleep on the floor. I would rather sleep in the bed than sleep on the floor. But if I think there's a slight chance that you're going to sleep on the rollaway bed and complain, then I'm going to take that rollaway bed because I hate your complaining. I think that's what it is.
I think that's a big part of it. That's like, I remember we were first married and we had a friend who whose parents had a beach house. Mm-hmm. And we went in the first year. It was like our first ever really like trip away, you know, as a married couple. Had an awesome weekend, and then we went back the next year when we brought our friends.
Right.
And we show up and you announce that they get the master. And then in my head I was like, we're paying for this.
We weren't. We were splitting the cost of that.
No.
There's no way. I would have never agreed to that deal. Yeah, I would have.
That's how I remember it.
We are.
And we got like you got a $300 driving ticket because you drove on the way to the trip. Yeah. You got a speeding ticket.
That I remember.
Over like a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
So we have this huge speeding ticket and then you gave away the master. And I was like, this isn't going to be like the first time we came on this trip.
No.
Because you can never have a first experience at the same place.
That's why we'll never go back to New York. It was too good.
The first time you have no expectations, the second time you're living up to like the awesome expectations of the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true. Real quick on the New York story. One of my favorite, there's a lot of things that I like about you, but one of them is your inability to function in any way whatsoever when you're hungry. You can't. And there has been two times now, two trips in the last 18 months where you met me somewhere or we got somewhere like you had never been, Nashville and New York. And I could not wait to show you around that city, both cities you had never been to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, You in Nashville, you're like, I cannot do anything until I eat. Like, you just needed to sit down in the hotel room, not look at anything until you had a sandwich and a coffee. And then when you came to New York, you met me in New York. I got you. I greeted you. I might not have even hugged you. I brought you to the hotel room, and in the hotel room was a sandwich and a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
No party was like, no, let's get some food while I'm in Manhattan for the first time. You know, I guess you'd been to New York before. Yeah. Had you been to New York?
No, I hadn't.
Yeah, there was no party. He's like, no, we'll get some food. There's so much to do. Let's go.
I know. Well, the other...
Like, I hunger. I must.
I was like dead on that Tennessee flight.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know how you do this. Yeah. I slept half the night, you know, I got half a night of sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so dead. And then we went to that party and I was like, my hair's wet.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then like there was like fancy famous people there.
Yeah. Kid Rock was there.
Yeah. And
looking way worse than you, by the way.
And there were just like, it was very Southern.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
You don't have a lot of time in the South either.
No.
Yeah.
I just had to eat something.
Right.
And then I was totally fine. But I was, yeah.
Oh, man. Remember travel?
I think there was a couple of people that were like, are you okay? And I was like, I just need a minute. Like, I just had to like put something in my stomach.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay.
It's hilarious. And it took me like 3 years to identify. And now I just know better. Like, I just know, like even basic things, like if I have to go to the bathroom, like, hey, do you have to go to the bathroom? You're like, yes. We have one bathroom, and I'm just going to preempt that you might have to go. So, it's funny. It's one of the funny things that we're getting ready for this trip. We're still getting ready for it, and we're getting ready for it all week. We had to fight. Would have been a couple nights ago leading up to it, and I was like, well, what do you have to do? And you're like, I have to go to the library. And I just started laughing.
Yeah. And that backfired. Yeah.
What? Oh, yeah, yeah, because the, the library, you don't just go in the library. You have library appointments right now, right? So you had, that's what you said. So, you're like, I have a 10 a.m. at the library. What, an interview?
Yeah. These hard deadlines. No, you can't get anything out from the library right now.
Right.
They deliver like once a week. And so I put like 15 books on hold and we got one.
Really?
Yeah. And I had the appointment and everything.
Yeah.
Because they don't let you go in and they just give you your bag. And they're helping other county services right now. So they're just...
How so? Oh, like they...
That's just what she told me. Because I was like, one book.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just try and grab a lot of books for the kids and stuff when we go on trips. It's 12 days.
Right.
But yeah, it's not gonna happen. So
yeah,
I bought them. I should have ordered
some more. I should order some more comic books.
I bought them a book each at Target instead.
You bought them a book? What books did you buy
them? I got
Pony Express.
Oh my gosh! Hold on, it's gonna come to me here. Okay,
I'm not,
Okay, you don't want to know?
No, I know. Yes, tell me.
Okay, I got the new Middle School Worst Years of My Life.
Okay,
I got a Pete the Cat Goes on a Road Trip.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I got a. No, I didn't get a Babysitter's Club for Gloria. I got, what was it? I think I got the Wimpy Kid. They have
the Diary of Wimpy Kid. Classic.
Like the little brother's story or something. And then I got this National Geographic.
Yeah.
Gloria is fifth grade. They cover all the states.
Sure.
So I mean, that's an educational book.
Riveting stuff.
Yeah. The 50 states.
Really powerful stuff. I know I'm only from 50 Nifty.
Well,
and I've been to 46 of them.
Well, yeah, you know them from your work life.
You tell me a state and I have a memory there.
That's crazy.
Except four of them that I haven't been to. But yeah, so we're getting through it. It's very stressful.
Yeah.
And this is gonna sound like a forced ad, but it's actually very genuine in this moment right here. You know what has helped us this week? Every Plate.
Yeah.
Every Plate has absolutely helped us this week because time is strapped and money can be tight. And if you guys are not familiar with Every Plate, you need to be familiar with Every Plate. It is America's best value meal kit and you get more bites for your buck. I'm a big fan of Every Plate, as are you, right, Melissa Nickerson's?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great. You get experience, you get full plates and fuller wallets. That's one of my favorite little catchphrases there with America's best value. So one of the most important things about meal kits. You guys are probably somewhat familiar with meal kits, but this is the most affordable of them all. Mm-hmm. It is very good. Mm-hmm. These meals are great.
Yeah.
So how did you did it with the kids, right? Where you had them pick out the three different meals that they wanted.
Mm-hmm. So every kid got to pick one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made all three of them in a row this week.
So the kids get a custom meal, which is fun for them, right?
Yep.
Joel picked the baked potato.
Yep.
Which is classic. Which
perhaps isn't a selling point, but it had a bunch of toppings.
People love baked potatoes, and I liked it way more than I normally like potatoes. Joel went down and realized I like baked potatoes, but what I really like is bacon, and the bacon comes with it. It all comes with it. What were the other ones that the kids chose?
Gloria chose melty mozzarella chicken with tomato, garlic, studded zucchini, and herbed potatoes.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You had me at cheese chicken.
Cheese chicken. Yep. And then Claire chose the Tuscan herbed chicken over creamy tomato linguine.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're all really good.
They're very good. And
we got all the ingredients delivered to us.
And you told me they were very easy to make too, right?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So it's contactlessly delivered to your doorstep. Very easy home cooking on a budget. Mm-hmm. And they drop it off and it was very... And you're a good cook. I'm not a good cook. But these recipe cards are... they make sense. They're easy.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to pick out. It's a good deal. And guys, you have... as a backseater, you have an opportunity to get an even better deal because you can get 3 weeks of Every Plate meals for only $2.99 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering code DON'TMAKEME3. Guys, that's 3 weeks of Every Plate meals. Like I said, 3 weeks of Every Plate meals for only $2.99 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering code DON'TMAKEME3. So again, check out everybody, Every Plate, America's best value meal kit. I am hungry. I would take them on the road if we could, but alas, we can't. Realistically,
we're not bringing the cooler.
No, I told you earlier this week that I wanted to be on the road by 8 tomorrow.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of long drives. the way that we portioned this out. A lot of shorter drives. And the first one is the longest than the last one. The last one is fine. The last trip, you're just, everybody's just getting
home. Last day, yeah.
Last day is fine. But the what do you think the the odds percentage, and I know numbers are your favorite, are that we are in the car by 8 a.m. tomorrow? Like on the road, in the car, pulling out of the driveway at 8 a.m.
Well, if you're motivated, I am terrible at alarms.
Yeah.
But
I'm always motivated the day before. And then the morning hits because who knows what my night was like.
Right.
You were talking about me being like, you know, how you do it on the sleep stuff. I just don't anymore. I think I really do think that the this is going to sound like a, like, you know, feeling sorry for myself. But I do think that this travel, 7 years of early road travel now really has, I think it's done like irreparable damage to my sleep. Like too many early mornings, too many lost nights of sleep, too many sleeping in airports. Like I just like I it's almost like I just feel like my body doesn't know how to just go lay down for 8 hours. It's like, what are we doing? We got a flight to catch, or you know, like you gotta go somewhere. Like why do you keep waking up in the same time zone? Like, are you insane? Yeah. It's just kind of got wired to be I think I'm wired to be a light sleeper now, which I am not normally. And but there is a part of me, and I think that this goes to the sleep thing. If I'm like after 6-7 a.m., I'm sleeping hard. That's my best sleep. It's like, and it's my favorite time to sleep. My favorite time to sleep is like 6 or like till 10 or 11 a.m. It's just like, I don't know why. It just feels so good. It feels like
it's your deepest sleep.
It's my deepest sleep. It feels totally different than the rest of the sleep. And I think that's because my mind triggers into like, oh, it's a non-travel day. You didn't have to get up at the travel time.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like my dad. You know, my dad got up at like 4 a.m. forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, then like on the weekends and stuff, he would get up at 7, you know, which is not any type of sleeping in, but compared to 4 a.m. it is. You know, so what I'm saying is I'm motivated today, but you know, it could be a whole different scenario.
We're gonna have to hold you to that tomorrow.
Well, the good news is I'll do as much prep tonight as I can, as far as because you know,
try and load up the car.
I can't go to sleep before 2 or 3, so the car will be loaded. But this is the thing: I always load the car, and then you're like, and then there's the morning load, which is like a different thing. you're always like, okay, these 11 bags can't go in.
You know what?
And they're the 11 biggest bags.
I don't like hearing you complain. Okay, no, I don't care. I don't actually care if you complain.
Oh, really?
That doesn't bother me.
Hmm.
Other things.
That
too.
Must be nice. Oh, yeah. Tell me a couple things about me that bother you.
No.
Okay. I'll say them for you. Extended showers. Sometimes I take a little long getting ready. Bad road habit of mine. I think have we talked about that on the pod? I got a little too comfortable on the road, and go ahead.
Your whole schedule, road schedule would be like the sleep in, the like do some work with a cup of coffee, maybe meet up with somebody, maybe work out, and then like 4 or 5, you're prepping for your shows.
Yep.
So you're taking a long shower. Watching some videos.
Yeah.
Comedy, Rogan, something.
Air drying a lot.
Yep.
Just taking my sweet time. I'm hanging out in my hotel in a towel for several hours. The gap, I won't get in the shower until I've gotten a good cup of coffee. I want to have this coffee to enjoy throughout the extent. Like, I will leave to go get a good
shower.
Cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Nice steamy shower, enjoy maybe a shave. Just it's heaven. I'm thinking about it right now. I'm getting sad. Like, I love it. It's honestly, on the road, it's usually the best part of my day. It's really nice because, you know, a lot of time I've worked out and I perform. So it's also a well-needed shower. It's there's no part of this that's like, you know, maybe I don't need to shower today. It's you're a disgusting human being. So.
Yep.
So I've had to cut that down by about 75% of its time.
Yeah.
And even still, it's a little on the long side. So that's one thing that annoys you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? No. Okay.
I don't.
You
You put me on the spot.
You graciously allowed me to have a golf day recently, and then you very graciously agreed that I could do it once a month, and that was really nice of you.
No, I didn't.
And then, no, you did.
No, I didn't.
It was really nice.
No, I didn't.
It was really nice that in addition to any time I play on the road, once a month on the third Saturday, I could play. I will say that it was nice to play with comics midweek. Like if and when the kids ever go back to school, if golf was ever a more prominent thing, that's the time to do it, is be like, not the Saturday. The Saturdays are so brutal. Like the golf widow thing is so real. But what I'd rather do is just, I'm not trying to get more golfing. What I'm trying to do is get to a story. So me and three comics recently went golfing, all front seaters, James Schrader, Dallas McLaughlin, and Jason Lawhead. Mm-hmm. Funny group, you know, all furloughed, everybody doing different things.
Yeah.
Jason is a, you know, we all have our various side projects, but we got in a head-on accident in our golf cart, and it was not my fault. Again, because I'm that way, as soon as it happened, I assumed it was my fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I remember in the Safeway parking lot 15 years ago, I got out and I admitted fault. And they're like, this is the one.
Baby.
I was a baby. I didn't know better. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
And then remember my friend.
Someone could be
like, you need to call your insurance.
Someone could be stabbing me. And I'm like, I'm so sorry that I got in the way of your knife. That's my bad. I assumed it was my fault. And then I was like, no, I was on the right side. This guy was driving on the wrong side of the path and was doing this blind thing. And it, like, came around the corner blind and Lawhead flew out of the cart.
From the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or no, he flew out. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. He was next to me.
I thought you meant like,
yeah,
his temper flew out.
Oh, yeah. No, that happened too. But I was like, hey, man, can you help me move this car? He's like, no, man, I'm lucky to be alive right now. Like, he hit his head. It was all very funny in hindsight. He texted us later that he was taking an ice bath.
Oh, man.
Well, that was the thing. They hit us so hard and probably going like 10 miles per hour. I was like, do I need to collect insurance? Like,
yeah, take some
what's
pictures.
The liability on this scenario? And his front wheel was totally jacked. It was like off to the side. It was, and then some other guy came by and was like, dude, I just saw you run into a wall. What's your problem? Like, that guy hit two things in like a very short period of time.
Wow.
And he was in there with his old wife. And I was like, this poor soul.
Well, and you kind of said, you know, it's Wednesday. It was kind of no man's land. Like,
there was barely anybody up there.
There's barely any staff.
It's a good time to golf. There's barely anybody there. But overall, it was a good golf round. But that's pretty adventurous.
I mean, I guess Jason, you know, could lawyer up and.
Yeah.
Sue the
that
golf
was the most
course.
Exciting
I
thing.
Don't know
the second most exciting thing is I saw a coyote which I misidentified as two wrong animals before I realized it was a coyote, but it was from a distance and it looked like a deer.
Wait, dog
looked right, like okay. A deer
because
they do kind of look like deers from a distance.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh no, that's a dog. And then I was like, oh no. And then Jason's like, that's a coyote, Dustin. He took the demeaning tone, which I had that coming at that
point. You
know,
comics.
Yeah, it didn't take long. At first, we were all nice. And then...
And you're like, oh, nobody has a job.
Yeah. And then James was like, okay, so getting four comics to commit and plan something in the morning, an impossible feat. And
yes.
I'm part of the problem, right? I mean, we talked about this before. I couldn't get... Oh, gosh, it was driving me insane. And then we get there, and then James was 45 minutes late because he misplanned the thing. And then he got there, and he was, like, on the second hole, and he started complaining. My favorite. And
your
I was
favorite.
Like, and I was like, this guy shows up 45 minutes late. And then on the second hole is saying that this isn't a nice enough course for him. Or like, this guy who respects the game so much to wear a bucket hat. And show up 45 minutes late. I will say that the complaining thing that I got, you know, that it is like,
did you give him your golf clubs?
I paid for a nicer round for him at a different course. I just want you to be happy, James. I think that's the hardest part about parenting for me. Is kids complaining. I know that's the most challenging, but it's not that challenging.
No.
You have
For me, it's like holding the line.
Yeah.
Like I don't I don't like setting limits.
Yeah.
And I don't like enforcing them.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
And then when they like push and push and push, I'm like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
But that's bad.
I would not categorize that as good parenting. But I will say that's because...
But like usually I'm just like, this isn't important.
No, but you do go heavy on the things that are very important to you. Safety.
Yeah.
You freak out.
Yeah.
You're like, it's like, you'll get like, you're like yell crying at them.
I know. Actually, the Wolverine scene in the movie we watched last night, they're on like top of some like water tower.
Right.
That was hard.
The heights.
I had to, those kind of movies are not, I mean, I don't like backstories with like families separated and all the, you know, all the mutants have terrible,
it kills his dad.
Terrible backstories, you know, of like abuse and neglect and separation of families. Because that's why they become, you know,
comedians. Same thing.
And I know it's a movie. I just still don't like watching it.
Everybody who's listening to this podcast, like, why do comedians and superheroes have the same origin story? We just don't have superpowers.
Yeah. Tell me about your origin story.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I don't like heights. And
so you got a little nervous during
so
that.
So I got super nervous during that fight scene on top of the water tower.
Yeah.
And then I had to go, they're not going to fall. Like, or if Wolverine is not going to fall.
I mean, he might fall, but he has healing power.
He's got the claws, you know? He can hold on to the side. He did, Dustin.
I know. It's just funny that you're having this rationalization in your brain. But that to say, but so safety is a thing that's very important to you. What are other things that you have a easy, like stay out of the kitchen? That's one.
Or just like cleaning up after yourself. Cleaning. Noise is very hard for me. It's not always hard for me. It's just very heightened.
Today we were here in the office and the girls had your phone and I was doing like a little writing thing, but I hadn't eaten yet. Uh-huh. And I went and got my cereal and I took a bite of it. And then you were about to leave and I turned on music because I knew. I knew that you could listen to Taylor Swift cussing, but not me chewing.
I know.
I get it. Hey, we don't control the things that annoy us. But complaining is the one for me, which makes me like, I love like doing road trips and we have a bunch of fun stuff planned on this. But I'm just going to have to like, you're going to have to coach me through, like just kind of remind me in the moments of like, not to let the complaining bother me too much, you know?
Well, I just think you take it personally.
It is personal. It's very personal.
For me, other things are personal, but that isn't.
Complaining is as personal as it gets. You gave me a thing. I'm not grateful for it. Mm-hmm. That's as personal as it gets. I've said that to the kids. Like, you can be flipping me off. It's the same thing. You know, it's the, if you wanted 10 things, I gave you 8 and you're focusing on the 2.
Right.
And as we tell them over and over, the 2 would not make you happy. So you can hear me getting worked up already. It is exceedingly personal. And I think that that's like, I mean, we provide different things, but like usually it's the experiences and the trips and the gifts and the stuff like that that I'm providing and planning and organizing and executing. And so when we get there and we go to like a trampoline park and they ask for ice cream and I say no, and then they throw a fit, I'm like, I don't want you guys. I don't like... I don't, we'll just not do anything. Is that what you prefer? Do you just prefer to not do anything? Is that seems like the only alternative here. I'm worked up.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
I'm just going to say that, how am I going to say this? What's therapeutic for me is like, I used to go in Claire's classroom every week and grade the homework. I rolled my eyes because it's kindergarten homework, but it was very therapeutic for me because I saw like 36-year-olds all doing the same things,
right,
like getting out of their seats or bugging their neighbors,
just being 6-year-olds.
Yep. And so for whatever reason I felt like saying this, I think like when I'm exposed to a bunch of other kids doing the same things that our kids do, that I'm not surprised when they do them.
So do you think when I'm upset that you're not being grateful that I need to hang out with other wives? And be like, no, this is just how wives are.
This is a parenting analogy.
That's it, everybody. We got work to do. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you have not already, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/don't make me come back there. Give it a little more, get a little more. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great rest of your week.
Uh-huh.
Every week you bomb there. Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. I wanted to give a special shout out to our designated drivers. That is our highest level of patrons. Demarius Diaz Stevens, Troy Meacham, Dave Hoagland, and Rachel Jakewith. Really appreciate your support of the podcast. If you have not already, please like and subscribe and share. Backseaters, you mean the world to us. Thanks so much for tuning in.